Hi, and welcome to the Middle Ground Podcast, where we bring together ideologically different hosts to talk about different issues facing America. Today's topic is Middle East foreign policy, and more specifically, the current events surrounding Iran right now. On the right, my name is Ben Davidoff.
On the left, Henry Scharf.
And in the middle, Fedor Kirilenko.
Henry, let's start with you. What are your opinions about this issue?
Personally, I think that Iran right now is a threat to American national security. However, they're only a threat because of the circumstances we put them in and because of the years and years of kind of bullying towards Iran, which I thought was pretty pointless, especially with like the involvement and a lot of contentious issues that we didn't really have to get involved in. Also, I believe that the killing of Soleimani was a mistake, and I think that only just made matters worse for the United States. What do you think, Fedor?
In the middle, I actually think the killing was, well, it was contentious, but I think it was the right choice to make. It was a reactionary response to Iran's proactive approach in the Middle East of their kind of proxy Shiite militant groups in Yemen and in Iraq and Syria, all the support of those groups, right? And I think Iran is obviously the main issue, obviously with, I think, Russia, Iran, and China are the main issues. And I think this was a sort of Cold War containment from the United States where they just said, okay, Soleimani, you're doing stuff outside of Iran and you're trying to impose your influence externally on other countries. No, we're not going to do that. And, you know, obviously we, you know, killed him. The government did, the regime did, our regime did. But I mean, I also don't agree with this like sort of victimhood mentality that like Iran has. I mean, they've been their regime is like pretty much potently anti-Western since 1979. It's not just what we've done. Obviously, we have injustices in our past towards Iran, and we've obviously been very aggressive in our foreign policy towards them and very quixotic, idealistic. But that also shouldn't just deny the fact that the regime is fundamentally anti-Western and anti-Israeli and anti-U.S. interests. And I'd like to pass the baton to Ben on the right.
I very much agree with killing Qasem Soleimani, and I believe he should have been killed a long time ago, to be honest with you. He was one of the worst human beings on the planet. He subjugated citizens of at least five different countries directly through his own military power and indirectly countless more through his proxies. He also supports and reinforces an Iranian regime that forces its own citizens to chant death to America and death to Israel, which we've actually seen recently. A lot of students and young people in the country sort of reject that, which I feel has serious ramifications for the future of Iran. Before Qasem Soleimani was killed, I thought there was a one in a million chance of the current Iranian regime being overthrown. But I mean, since then, it seems like a small percentage, but I think it's jumped up to like 5%, to be honest with you.
It's a shaky regime.
It is. I mean, at this point, they've lost the main military, power, the commander of the main military power and muscle. He's fired on his own citizens for protesting. I mean, there are countless incidents of him creating violence, inciting violence, mm-hmm. where there didn't need to be. And, you know, I mean, people were talking about, you know, the fact that he was killed in Iraq. And some people were mentioning that he was there for a peace plan. He was there to negotiate with their leaders, with the people in Iraq, so that Iran and Iraq could have some peace in the region. And to those people, I'd say, I mean, if you really understand the Iranian regime, the only peace plan they really want to pursue is one where Iran basically dominates the entire region. And so any peace plan that would include Iraq would necessarily have to include Iran being the controlling regime, the controlling government, basically dictating the law of all of those areas.
Shiite law.
Shiite law, exactly. So yeah, I think he should have been killed a long time ago, and I was very happy it happened. And I think that it was a very courageous and difficult decision for President Trump to make. And I don't agree with him on everything, but this is definitely something I agree with him on. There were also reports actually that came out after the fact that he had been wanting, he had a plan to kill Soleimani in place a few months prior as well. So it wasn't necessarily, I do believe it was a reactionary thing, but I also think that this was something that they'd planned in advance and they knew, they knew where he'd be and they understood the circumstances and they just sort of jumped at the opportunity. Henry, what do you say to that?
Well, personally, here's the problem, okay? Soleimani was a bad guy, okay? Like, he was definitely not a good guy by any metric. But I think the problem is it provoked the regime. They accidentally shot down a plane afterwards filled with hundreds of innocent people.
Yeah, like 200 people, which is insane.
And I don't think they would have done that if Soleimani wasn't killed, personally. I think that it was obvious that they did it because there was evidence that the government tried to send people to clean up the plane wreckage. There was evidence that there was ballistic damage done on the plane. And that's quite problematic. However, overall, I think the killing of him was not at a good time, especially with all the tension that essentially resulted afterwards. And here's the thing. A lot of people in Iran want to cooperate with the West. I believe personally that it's a very small subset of people who control a majority of the power who are the people who do not want to cooperate with the rest. But I bet you if you asked a majority of young people that they would say that they do. But I
agree with you about the majority of young people.
I'd like to jump on
this. I believe that polling isn't allowed in Iran. I'm pretty sure it's not allowed.
Yeah. I mean, it's independent NGOs are blocked from conducting polls, and we don't really have a reliable sense of political culture. But there is a very strong movement towards democracy in Iran, and you are right. There is a small percentage of people, notably the unelected institutions that control most of the power, the supreme leader, the president. I mean, the president is elected. But ultimately, it all comes down to the supreme leader and, you know, his sort of assembly of experts and the juris guardianship.
It all rests
right?
with the Ayatollah. It
yeah,
all rests with
ultimately,
the Ayatollah.
Right? And I don't know. Should we? I feel like we should just institute like the problem with American foreign policy. And this is what I didn't like about Obama is he drew this red line for Assad, right? When he used chemical weapons, right? And so then he used chemical weapons, but he didn't do anything after that. He drew the red line, said, if you're going to use them, we're going to do something about it. But he didn't do anything about it. So it makes you look weak when you don't fulfill your promises like that and you institute some sort of containment on them. And the number one player in the Middle East right now, proactive player that's instituting all these regimes and causing all these civil wars and causing all this tension and turmoil is, in some aspects, Iran. Yemen, they're trying to impose a Shiite crescent all over there. I think America, like it has always been, needs to be the great balancing act that comes in when someone is like, for example, Iraq in the 90s or the 80s and say, you know what? You can't just invade Kuwait. You can't just go in there like that. You can't just – that's illegal. That's inhumane. That's not right. And we should come in there and say we should stop it. And I think Soleimani was an example of that and the Iranian regime. I'm not saying we should dismantle the Iranian regime, but I'm saying we should limit it.
I do. I want to throw it to Henry after this, but I do want to make just one point. In terms of the political culture, both of you were talking about and how many people actually do support the current regime in place and how many people don't support it. Just from what I'm hearing from relatives and people that I know who have been to Iran and sort of understand what's going on, it from what I'm hearing, it seems like a majority of the population, roughly around 60 to 70%, do currently support the regime that's in place, just because they are also very fundamentalist in their own right. But in terms of, you know, how much of the youth supports the current regime in Iran is very few. You can see it with in Iran's top universities, in their university in Tehran. They had painted the American and Israeli flags on a walkway, and for the most part, students avoided them. My parents have told me stories about this too. They both immigrated to the United States from Iran, and they've told me about how once the Ayatollah took power in 79, following the revolution, there was a lot of those sort of symbolic gestures against America and Israel. Once that happened, they started forcing kids to chant "Death to America, Death to Israel" in their schools and stuff like that. Yeah, I want to throw it to you after, but yeah, that pretty much sums up what I was trying to say.
I was going to ask you a question real quick. Mm-hmm. Were your relatives there for the revolution?
Yeah, so my mom's family was there. They actually thought the revolution was going to die out
in Tehran.
My mom's family was in Tehran. My dad's family was in Tabriz, which is a small industrial area, majority Muslim. He was one of three or four Jewish families. And Tabriz, not a lot of people know this, but actually Tabriz was one of the two cities where the protests really started against the Shah. With my mom, they stayed there throughout a couple of years after the revolution had started, which was not the best idea on their part because they thought they could just ride it out. And what ended up happening is my grandpa got taken to an Iranian prison and just a bunch of stuff happened. But my dad was able to get out because he had an uncle who was living in the States, and the uncle knew all of the stuff that was going on. So he basically told them, like, get out of there as fast as you can. But my mom wasn't that lucky. So they had to escape through the border. They had to go into Turkey. And then they had to go hop on a plane to France and then come to the United States. So another thing that a lot of people don't realize is Iran went through a massive cultural upheaval after the revolution. Before the revolution, Iran embodied relatively Western values in a lot of ways.
Secular, kind of like secular. The Shah.
Exactly. The Shah was very, very supportive of other religions besides Islam. Mm-hmm. He was very supportive of women's rights.
Yeah.
To be honest, they didn't have to wear the hijab when they went around. But obviously, of course, the Shah had negatives too. He had the Savak, the secret police. Yeah. Exactly. The crackdown on anti-government, on people who were against the government, was bordering on manic, which is part of the reason why all of the tension sort of just was left there under the surface, and then eventually it bubbled out. But the massive cultural shock that happened following that really shifted a lot of people's lives. Mm-hmm. Any of you want to butt in?
So just to return to what we were debating about earlier, I really don't think it's the U.S.'s job to kind of butt into these places. I mean, sure, for example, like, we had a deal with Iran and Trump pulled out of the deal. They are willing to cooperate. Like, Rouhani wanted to cooperate. Rouhani wanted a deal, okay? And I believe there was no evidence of them, like, not complying with the deal, right?
Well, I'll jump on it, but I mean, I think. Oh, you want to
continue your thought?
Yeah.
I just want to know.
Like, I mean, okay. Let's assume like they were sparkly clean and they didn't do anything. They just wanted uranium for the purpose of enrichment, not nuclear, whatever. They're following protocol. Let's just say, right? But you're saying Rouhani still wants the deal to go through. It's Rouhani. And that brings up the main point, is that Rouhani and his reformist camp of Muslims, Iranian
reformist,
yeah, relative to the principalists, but arguably it's, you know, they're more pro-Western. I mean, two out of the four last presidents of Iran have been pretty reformist, apart from Ahmadinejad, who said there was no homosexuals in Iran. Who said death to Israel, like live He's, from yeah. the UN.
Well, it's there is a cycle in Iran, but yeah. Continue.
Yeah. It's definitely tough to give a regime with a death wish against the West and Israel and the US nukes. or just even even to some extent, even just let's even assume they're being. I'm not going to trust them. I mean, I don't think anyone in their reasonable Western secular mind is going to trust them.
But but to an extent, the only reason they hate us so much is because of everything we've done to them.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
There's
a lot of ideological.
We've unjustly intervened in Iran a lot of times.
That is very true. I completely agree with you, but I do think that there's an ideological component to it. I think there's an ideological component to it. I think there's a lot of, especially you can see with the fundamentalist laws they have, a lot of it are geared towards just specifically anti-Western ideals. Yeah.
They're quite West toxification.
And yeah. You know what else I hate? I hate how like whenever people talk about how they didn't like the Soleimani killing, everyone's like, "Oh, you just hate America. You just hate America." Like, I don't hate America. I love America, but at the same time, I don't have to agree with every decision that the country makes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Just because you disagree with a killing of a Iranian official by the regime doesn't mean you aren't a patriot. You're just concerned with the ramifications and implications of that. I understand. Yeah, I also think it's like when like Colin Kaepernick is like kneeling and then you're like, oh, that's anti-American or whatever. It's just I think it's a flawed talking.
A lot of people have used that like that argument against people in the past. Yeah, like
you're
for years,
you're un-American.
Exactly, yeah. You're un-American. I mean, they used that in the 50s.
Yeah,
during,
Red Scare,
all that stuff. It's been going on for a long time. Another thing I kind of wanted to talk about was the Iran deal that you had mentioned. There actually was it kind of sounds like it's out of a spy movie, but what Israel did, Mossad did, was they took a few of their spies. I can't remember how many, but they went into Iran and they stole a vault. And they brought it back to Israel.
Israel stole a whole vault.
They brought it back to Israel. They copied everything down that was in the vault and returned the vault back to Iran. And what they found was that Iran was not complying with the nuclear deal. Yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu gave
That could just be like propaganda.
Zionist propaganda.
It could totally be lying.
It could be. But Benjamin Netanyahu gave a PowerPoint speech, I believe, to the United Nations, where sort of famously or infamously, I guess, the first slide was just literally two words, and it was just "they lied." And he proceeded to talk for about 40 minutes about all the different things that Iran was not complying with, the different enrichment rates that they were exceeding, the plans that they had drawn up for certain bombs that could hold different payload capacities. And so basically what Benjamin Netanyahu and Mossad had uncovered was the fears about the Iran nuclear deal, which was basically that it has good intentions, but the Iranian government is not going to uphold them. And furthermore, they're not really going to let the UN or the US or any independent body be able to fairly judge them based on what they're actually doing. And the concern is then, of course, Israel has a vested interest in this because Iran literally has people chant death to Israel. Israel is really like the closest target that Iran has in terms of wanting to completely obliterate them. So Israel has a vested interest in this. And I personally thought after that, I was like, okay, this Iran deal is clearly not working. And it seems like the best way to go about doing this is economic sanctions, which the Trump administration has actually done a lot of. And rather than escalate things militarily when Trump had the opportunity to, he continued to put these economic sanctions on them, which is really hurting. Unfortunately, it's hurting the people of Iran.
Yeah, but the middle class.
I mean, that's the only real way we can try and affect change over here.
Do you think that Iran attacked the Saudi oil fields, or do you think it was actually the Houthi rebels in Yemen? Or neither.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know much about the topic, but from what I do know, I think it's a combination of Iran's proxies and like Iran funded one of its proxies, or at least one of the proxies that is getting Iranian money, who has a vested interest in seeing.
Yeah, because the Houthis are Shias, right? Or they're Shia, like they're like a group backed by the Iranian state.
I believe so. So, so I do think that it's
Wait, what? Wait, what'd you say?
The Houthis are
backed
by the Iranian state. It does seem to me like the only people that really have a vested interest in seeing those Saudi oil fields destroyed are Iran, just because, you know, those fields were blown up, I mean, it hit everybody. It hit the entire world economy pretty much in a lot of different places, except for the U.S. sort of had dampened it just because we had...
Yeah, like the backup reserves.
Yeah, exactly. All the stuff.
Yeah.
But we... I don't know. Do you think there's anybody that has the motive besides Iran one of those tribes?
I think it was Iran. Probably Iran. They're the only one who has like a really big stake in that kind of issue. And I think they're the only one who would, the only regime who would actually be able to carry it out. A lot of people say like that they didn't have the technology to get... they got drone striked, I think, or something like that.
Who, Iran or the fields?
Or the fields.
I believe the fields were drone striked.
Maybe not drone strike, but they were bombed.
Blew up all the
But people were like, oh yeah, they didn't have the missiles to do that. Like they don't have the technology, but I don't know. I think that they got their hands on something because
who Iran has the missiles. I wouldn't put it past them, but I agree that there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered. So sort of getting back to America and Iran foreign policy, just to sort of sum up what I'm thinking on a lot of this issue. Basically, it just seems to me like when Iran acts aggressively in the world, I believe it is the job of the United States, because the UN hasn't been doing a very good job of it. It is the job of the United States to help sort of curb that sort of behavior. And whether people agree with the killing of Soleimani or not, I think that everybody sort of has to admit it has sparked a change within the Iranian population and a chance to overthrow a regime that has oppressed its own people for nearly four decades now. Now 4 decades, actually, yep. 2020.
I'd like to read this one quote from the National Review. Seth Franzman wrote this. How will the Iranians respond? Iran's threat lies mostly in its willingness to use force when its adversaries don't want to fight. That's a wonderful quote, I think. And I think that sums up pretty much every authoritarian power today, Russia, maybe not China, actually, because China's pretty scary. but Russia and Iran are illusory powers, essentially. Their power lies in the illusion. So I'd like to sum up and say thank you for listening.
On the right, my name is Ben Davidoff.
On the left, Henry Scharf.
And in the middle, Fedor Kirilenko.